Okay. All right. You know what? I have a story along those lines, so I'll go ahead and tell one. But I do want to say. I do want to say I went into the store Mike works at once. I won't say the name either. But this was the day that a new Bruce Springsteen album came out. You guys know how I feel about Bruce Springsteen. They didn't have it out on the racks. And I asked the girl in the music department if they had the new Bruce Springsteen album. And she looks at me and she goes, "Who is that?" I would have fired her ass immediately and made it so she could never work again in anything relating to pop culture. That blows my fucking mind. Like, okay, I'm not so ignorant as to think that everyone should know the things I like, but if you sell music for a living and you've never heard of Bruce Springsteen, you fail at everything. Jesus Christ. Okay. Okay. So, I mentioned earlier I used to own a shop. It was a comic book shop. I was going to tell this to Challengers, but we just didn't have time. So I've kind of put together a story about my favorite, in quotes, customers as well. And running the shop, I found that there tended to be an inverse relationship between the amount of merchandise the customer bought and how annoying I found them. And it wasn't like the two weren't necessarily related. It was just that the people that you wanted to hang out with were the ones who would come in and they had something to do, but they would stop in, get their books, say a few things, and then leave. And you'd be like, "Oh, that guy's cool. I'd hang out with him." But the people who have nothing going on, that come in and spend 5 hours there and don't buy a thing and aren't really super good at conversation, just start to wear on you after a while. And like some of them I felt bad for, and like I understand, you know, you need a social outlet. But some of them push just a little too far, and you really have to set your boundaries. So I'm going to tell you about three of the boundary-setting people. So this first guy, I don't know his name, but I'm going to call him Logan, because he's named after an obsession with what I assume is either his favorite or his least favorite movie of all time. He would come in sporadically throughout the time we owned the shop. Like, the first time we met him was, like, our second day, too, which this was a real bad introduction to the comic book business. And he never bought anything, ever, in the 4.5 years we were there. But he would come in and get this real intense look in his eyes, and he would go, "Do you guys have the Logan's Run adaptation from Marvel Comics?" And the first time he came in, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that. Let me get it for you." I thought, cool, this is an easy sale. And he takes it out, and, you know, it's in the bag and board, and he opens it, and he turns to a certain page, and, like, he points at something in there, and he's like, "I had a dream about this last night. Thank you." And he hands it to me. And then he leaves. And he did that. He did that like 4 or 5 times. And at the third time on, we just told him we didn't have it anymore. No one ever bought the comic, but I didn't care to hear about his dreams any longer. I eventually, like, a few years after this first happened, I saw him working at the local Red Lobster as a busboy. And that was very strange to see him in that environment, and not in an environment where he was weirding me the fuck out. So that's my friend Logan. Number two, we're going to call Sweatshorts, for obvious reasons, because he always looked like he was in the middle of doing laundry, but which is fine, except there weren't any laundromats really nearby. Like, there was one a mile away, but I could tell by his physique he wasn't walking a mile away. Certainly not with baskets of clothes. Listen, okay, and I know how I look, but trust me, this guy wasn't walking anywhere. And he didn't even have pockets on his sweatshirt. How could he pay for the laundry? But he was a customer who, like, he felt that he had to test my knowledge, which we had a lot of those. But most of them, like, if you passed the test, they would buy something. He never bought anything. He would just come in and, like, quiz me. And one day, he decided to bring up the original Spider-Man Clone Saga, which, if you guys didn't know there was one before the one in the 90s, I didn't either. But he decided to educate me. And so, I'm sitting there. This is right around the time Spider-Man 3 came out. And he goes, "Oh, so you've read the original Clone Saga, right?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't know about it." And he gets indignant. He goes, "Oh, well, bring me Amazing Spider-Man 48 through 52. Now, those are relatively, like, rare issues, and we're kind of a small store, so I check, and we have, like, two of them, but we don't have the crucial one he wants, which is, like, 50, I think. And he's like, what kind of store doesn't have Amazing Spider-Man 48 through 52? I'm like, "I don't know what to tell you, man. We either sold them or we never had them. Like, I don't think it's that hard to believe." And he looks at me, and he goes, "Well, I'm sorry I ruined your day." And he storms out. End of conversation. I saw him a couple other times, but that was the last time we ever really talked. And I can say I don't really miss Sweatshorts. Last guy, I'm going to call him Astro. I know this guy's real name, but I prefer the name Astro because he was always sky high, like stoned out of his fucking mind all the time. And the things he said to me were amazing. Like, they kind of made me feel like I was on drugs just listening to this guy. He told me once that if you play Dungeons & Dragons right, you will start to live it. Like, the things that you are that I described to you will appear in front of you as though they are real. And he told me about this campaign he had that started in his buddy's basement, and they ended up wandering around town, living it as though it was a Dungeons & Dragons world. This is real. Like, this is dangerous shit. Like, I feared for his friends and his city. But bar none, the best conversation we ever had was one day he starts talking to me about old sitcoms, Andrew, and he brings up The Wonder Years. And he asked me if I'd ever seen the last episode of The Wonder Years. Now, I didn't think that I had, but I said, oh, I don't know, maybe. And he goes, oh, I watched it last night. And then he tells me the plot of it, which he says, and this is not bullshit. He goes, the government comes to abduct Kevin Arnold because he's lived up to his potential too much and he's too dangerous to live. This is what he tells me the plot of the series finale of Wonder Years. So I'm behind my computer. I go to Wikipedia and look it up. And that's not at all even fucking close. Not even close. And he's like, yeah, his dad fights for him in prison and gets like he gets into a fight with the prison guard and ends up all bloody. I just play along, and he eventually leaves. I tell my business partner about this, like, a week later. And he goes, I don't know where the potential shit came from. Like, that's probably an invention of that dude's mind. But the government abduction part is from the series finale of ALF. He merged these shows together. And I feel like I really want to live in that guy's world. Like, what else is his brain concocted, because that's really fucking amazing. And I gotta tell you I kind of miss Astro, but not enough, because we're actually Facebook buddies, and sometimes he'll drop me a message and be like, hey man, we should hang out. I'm like, yeah, we should. And then that's the end of that. So I don't know, maybe I should just bite the bullet on that one and then report to you what he says next time. But yeah, those are my favorite crazy customers. Yay! That would be something. Yes, I'd have to drive him up here. I don't think he's allowed to drive. Hey. All right, we got one more story. I think, does anyone else want to go before we close it?
You actually kind of rattled one loose there.
Yeah! John Lester!